Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. This is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on a Thursday. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2026. I hope 2026 is good to you. I hope you achieve the things you're looking to achieve. And we can put 2025 in the past. Maybe 2025 was good to you as well, and you're hoping it improves. I feel like I got to the end of the year, and it was kind of like a mixed bag, like Atlanta sports, you know, where I was just like, yeah, there were some good things this year. There was also some like, yeah, I would love to forget that. I, like many Americans, got to end my 2025 spending most of it sick after doing the whole visiting family for Christmas. And then as I am in Alabama visiting family, it's like, oh, dad's not feeling good. Oh, okay, that's a little concerning. Oh, my niece, she's not feeling great. Oh, okay, that's not great. I go visit my grandmother who's in a nursing home, walk in the nursing home, and am told, oh, yeah, everyone's got to put on a mask because there's been a COVID outbreak here. I'm like, oh, cool. So ended up leaving all of that family time with quite literally, I mean, it was everything from strep throat to the flu to COVID that I was around in the span of just a couple of days trying to visit family for the holidays. Came back with some illness. Has been able to make it through. And so I'm very thankful to be able to talk with you guys for the next 4 hours as we're on the Dopey Millennial Show. We've got tons of things to get into, whether it's college football playoffs currently going on now. We'll be giving you updates as those games go on throughout the day. We've got plenty of Hawks basketball to get into, as of course I cover the team here for 92.9 The Game, as well as, you know, we got to talk some Falcons after that Monday night game. What did that Monday night game prove about the Falcons? We'll talk later in the show. Want to welcome in my producer, Garrett Chapman, one half of the old guys of us used to be the Dopey Millennial Show. It's fun to have you on the other side of the glass for a little bit, man.
A little old school, man. Old school. Been
starting,
a little while.
Starting off 2026, you know, on a different foot. But
what's old is new, and what's new is old, right?
There we go. And because I love it. I was thinking heading into this show, Garrett, I was like, someone's going to tune into the radio today, having, you know, just not caught us working together, and just be like, oh, yeah, those guys are still going strong. You know, no clue. It's
we're
all
still
good.
Here.
Yeah, we're still here. All right, with it being the new year, I feel like sometimes, you know, we do get into the New Year's resolutions or this or that you want to kind of set your mind off right beginning the new year. And I want to start off my show with this. We'll get into what happened Monday night for the Falcons against the Rams at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Really exciting. We'll get into what happened last night at State Farm Arena. Big time blowout for the Hawks. What does that mean for that team? I would like to start here, though. Let's begin 2026 talking about our Atlanta sports teams with more reality and less emotion, okay? Because I feel like here recently, and this week is honestly, this past week has been the perfect example of, I feel like I've witnessed way too much emotion and not enough reality when it comes to our Atlanta sports teams. And the two specific are the Falcons and the Hawks, because as I mentioned earlier, we'll get into later in the show, what did Monday night prove about the Falcons? And yet I feel like I witnessed a lot of fans doing the same thing that happened after that Thursday night win over the Bucks. You get a good quality win. You enjoy the win. However, let's not make more than we should about said when. Is this team competing for a chance in the playoffs? No, they are not. So at the end of the day, we should be evaluating this team, this roster, this coaching staff, as a team that is not competing for the playoffs once again. I've found this stat, which is just kind of fits perfectly with how this season has gone for Atlanta and how the last few years have gone. Since 2018, the Falcons' record has been 53-78 in games played with playoff eligibility. That is a 40% win record. Not great. In games where the Falcons were mathematically eliminated since 2018, this team is 11-4. 11-4. That is a 73% win percentage in games when you've been eliminated since 2018. I feel like that kind of fits once again the conversation around this team. Is there so much to be excited about? I believe roster-wise, yes. Are there conversations that are going to have to be had about the quarterback position for next season? Yes. However, if we're dealing in reality in 2026 and less emotion, we're going to realize what Monday night was and what it wasn't. I don't think it was some job-saving effort. I don't think it was a game that you need to have a referendum of the entire season over. It was one of 17 in a season that you did not make the postseason once again. Now, when it comes to the Hawks, this past week has also been a great example of people getting way too emotional about the Atlanta Hawks and not dealing in enough reality. It has been the trade Trae Young conversation coming up again because of what this team has been able to do. And we'll be talking with Brad Rowland coming up later in the show in about 30 minutes at 2:40 to break down what last night meant versus the previous seven-game losing streak. I have seen so much conversation about trading Trae and about how, oh, it's years too late, even though we're totally just going to ignore the fact of what previous versions of this team were. We're going to ignore the fact that Trae has been dealing with multiple injuries this season, but one leg injury specific that has caused him to miss significant time. We're just going to ignore the fact that Kristaps Porzingis has not been available this season. And oh yeah, when we saw that last night, this team looks quite a bit different. Instead of dealing in the reality of what's been going on, we deal with the emotional of blow it up. It's not working. It's never going to work. I've seen the now we've got Zachary Risacher getting included in trade conversations in year two in a second season in which he has been asked to essentially take a back seat, as what has been shown. He has not been allowed to develop like most number one overall picks. Most top five picks are done. And so now it's a, well, yeah, let's throw out the trade rumors that include Anthony Davis coming to town, because that injury-prone guy is certainly going to save the Hawks' season and their future, right? Yeah, no, I don't really think so. I think if we're dealing in reality, which is that, hey, when these trade rumors come out, why do they come out at the time that they do? Oh, interesting, the Hawks lose multiple games in a row, and all of a sudden, intel that was available to insiders at the beginning of the season is somehow popping back up of, well, you know, conversations in the Atlanta Hawks front office is that They're looking to move on from Trey at the trade deadline. Hey, guys, guess what? Guess what? When they didn't sign Trey to an extension in the offseason, that opened up this conversation. This conversation was always going to be had at the trade deadline of whether or not the Hawks move on from Trey, let him walk in the offseason. This was always going to be a thing. The Hawks not necessarily seeing Trey being a part of their future was always a thing the minute that they started the season without Trey having a contract extension. But you lose seven straight. You get emotional about the team. All this team sucks. Oh, Quinn Snyder is this. Oh, KP is not healthy, and so it's not working. We get emotional instead of dealing with the reality of where this team is at right now, which is a lot of really, really good components that haven't been healthy at the same time. The ridiculously low number of minutes that the actual starting five that was meant to play this season together has actually been able to play. Trey, Jaylen, Kristaps, all being healthy at the same time. It's just, it's where I want us to start 2026. Let's deal in reality. Let's work through it. I get it. We're sports fans. We're going to lose our cool. You're going to get overly excited about a big win over the Rams on a Monday night. You're going to get overly distraught about a 7-game losing streak, especially when it includes heartbreakers against the Bulls, when it includes heartbreakers against the Knicks, when you're dealing with injuries hitting the Hawks again. But when it comes to our Hawks, when it comes to our Falcons, I just want us to start 2026 dealing in reality and just having less emotion get involved, because it's really easy. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't happen to me too, because it 100% does. But as we go through the next 4 hours of this show, as we go through the rest of 2026, let's do our best when we're talking our teams to deal in reality. All right. On the other side of the break, let's get into a rest of the story. What's going on in the college football playoff? And also, let's talk about that Hawks game last night. Big blowout over the Timberwolves. What does that mean? We'll get into it next. Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on a Thursday, a weekday. That's because it is New Year's Day. Happy New Year's. Hope you are enjoying maybe some time off. Maybe you are able to sit in front of the TV, watch some football. If you're in the car traveling to and forth, be safe. And, you know, keep the Dopey Millennial Show on. I am sitting in the Kia Studios enjoying some really, really, really good, what is this? A Danish of some sort. Like, this was the Danish that Kirk Cousins brought to Falcons media. Garrett, you were in the building, were handed one of these giant, I did not realize, I don't think it translated from people posting this on social media, how huge these Danishes are, but these things are pretty good.
It's a Kringle pastry.
Kringle pastry,
yeah,
okay.
So it comes from Wisconsin. And Kirk Cousins, we were talking to him last week about what he does for Christmas, right? I think it was Christmas Eve that we were all there and hanging out with the Atlanta Falcons and doing all our stuff up there. But he was talking about how, like, this is one of the few things that he will splurge on, especially during the season. And it's just he'll cut himself off a little slice or whatever. But he's largely extremely serious about what goes into his body, and he takes care of it. I mean, there's a reason he's playing into his late 30s in the NFL. But he's got to take care of his body. But this is one of those few things. And Naturally, not a lot of people there because he's a Midwestern guy, right? He grew up in Michigan, and I mean, this is a Wisconsin product, and it was pretty common up there. Not quite so common down here. We don't have a lot of people from the Midwest who cover the Falcons. I think Taryn is probably the only one. She works for the Falcons, the digital team, but not a lot of people from that part of the world,
yeah.
You know, so part of the country. He brought it to us yesterday, and you are exactly right. Tasty as all get out, man. It is not too sweet. It's not
That's
too
it.
Rich. You know, but it's got a little bit of, you know, it smell. This one's cinnamon. I think Mark Romandi got a raspberry. D-Led got pecan.
Okay.
So
I like that you ended up with cinnamon.
I like the cinnamon. I was happy with it.
I was about to say, it's
it's really good.
I was about to say,
I will be having it next year. I will be making an order.
Oh, for sure. And, yeah,
because this company, because he mentioned this specific company and they sent it to him.
Oh, okay.
He walks in and he was like, I've come bearing gifts. Kirk, and we're like, what are you talking about?
Kirk loves a brand deal, man.
Dude.
He knows
no
how
kidding.
To spin everything into a brand deal.
No kidding. We had the games up because they have a TV in the media room. And we were watching some of the bowl games. No joke. His Great Clips commercial was on just before he came in.
I was just about to say,
moments before.
Look, whether it's Great Clips, I know Kohl's has had to have sent him some clothes. Like, there's no way.
Kohl's cash, baby.
There's no way that man gave as much free publicity to Kohl's over the course of the years without them sending him something. So, another opportunity for him to end up in a deal. And, yeah, this Danish is, like I said, insanely...
The Kringle.
The Kringle Danish. Really, really good. It's like a... Honestly, to me, it's like a Pop-Tart, but better.
It's not a Pop-Tart.
That's
no Pop-Tart. But it's got like the filling in the middle.
Yeah,
the
I guess that's
so
where
guess,
I'm going with it. It's got the
saying.
Icing on top. It's the...
But it's more flaky.
That's what I'm saying. It's the fresher pastry style of
but
thing
that...
it
smells
that,
like a cinnamon roll.
It really does.
But
yeah.
It's not nearly that sweet and like overpowering.
Yeah, well, and I was about to say, because I will upset a lot of people, Garrett, that I am not like super big on cinnamon rolls. Love the smell. Not as much on eating them, but
I'm an orange roll guy.
Okay.
Orange rolls are incredible.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, that's the good stuff.
That's, so shout out to Kirk Cousins for the Kringle Danish. And without any further ado, let's get into the rest of the story.
Now, the rest of the story. The rest of the story.
We begin with the Atlanta Hawks, who I told you, let's deal in reality. Well, the reality of Atlanta Hawks basketball right now is they blew out the Minnesota Timberwolves last night at State Farm Arena, 126-102. I was in the building, and man, this was a fun one to see for a team that had lost 7 straight coming into this game, including their most recent against the Oklahoma City Thunder, where you're like, well, Caleb, it's the Thunder. Of course they didn't beat them, and they were without Trae Young, Kristaps Porzingis, and Jalen Johnson in that game. Yet, the group of guys that Quinn was able to put together, really, really, really competitive. And honestly, till about the final minute of that game, they were very, very much in it with a chance to win. Last night, they get the Timberwolves, and it was essentially Anthony Edwards and a bunch of doofuses. Like, no one could score the basketball besides Ant Edwards, and he's incredible to watch in person. Like, there are some of those players that you just absolutely need to see in person, and I've been lucky last few weeks to be able to see, like, Victor Wembanyama when he came to State Farm Arena. Insane to see in person. The way that Anthony Edwards attacks defenses is just wild. And you go, like, I mean, how do you defend him any better? Well, you shut down everyone else. And that is exactly what the Atlanta Hawks defense did last night as they held Anthony Edwards had 30 points. Good night for Anthony Edwards. However, as they were getting blown out by nearly 30, but it was like around 25, I want to say, when Chris Finch took the final timeout for Minnesota and, you know, just decided to wave the white flag and pull the bench guys in, Anthony Edwards goes over to the bench. He throws his towel in the air and then walks to the locker room. And I just thought, because somebody pointed it out to me, who was sitting next to me, I just assumed he was walking up the tunnel and then walking back to his seat. No, the man never returned to the game. He was done. Chris Finch, after the game, was essentially, it was like, yeah, I mean, I get it. He's frustrated, but he can't leave the team like that. You got to stay on the bench. It'll be interesting to see. I doubt like a suspension comes or anything like that, but a stern talking to, definitely probably going to happen for Anthony Edwards. On the Hawks side of things, I mean, you got Jalen Johnson back after he missed a game. Kristaps Porzingis, though, was the big return. Had not played since December 5th against the Denver Nuggets. And Kristaps comes back in 17 minutes, scores 16 points on 6 of 12 shooting. And when I asked KP after the game, I was like, hey, so how do you feel like a win can help you guys after this 7-game losing streak? The man literally was like, you said how many? I said 7. And he was shocked, stunned, because I guess through his rehab for the last couple of weeks, he hadn't maybe noticed that the losing streak had gotten as bad as it was. But a really good game for the Hawks to get over the hump. And now you look towards the New York Knicks to see if you can continue, put some wins together. It'll be interesting to see whether or not Trae Young is able to return after he missed the second straight game. He's dealing with a right quad contusion. Also dealing in reality, not emotion, as I said we should be doing in 2026. A lot of speculation about, oh, Trae's just sitting because he's unhappy and he wants to get traded. Look, guys, that's just... No. You think a guy who is coming back from missing 7 weeks wants to miss more games because he's unhappy with his current team, and there's, you know, trade rumors swirling? That's, guys, this is not... It's not that dramatic. It's really not. Trae is the kind of guy who just doesn't want an injury to turn into something significantly longer after missing 7 weeks of time. Jalen Johnson, though, incredible in this one. Finished with 34 points against the Timberwolves, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Dyson almost had a triple-double with 11 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Just an overall, man, the vibes were high. The vibes were really good. I talked with Luke Kennard, who had his own great game last night. It was really good to see his aggressiveness. We'll let you listen to some audio from him coming up and check the tape later in the show. And then in about 11 minutes from now, 12 minutes from now, we'll talk with Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks to get his thoughts on this game, trade rumors that are swirling around the Hawks right now, and more. Let's continue in the rest of the story. The college football playoffs are alive and well this weekend. Man, last night, quite the upset. Number 10, Miami, gets the win over number 2, Ohio State, 24-14. I think this is rather interesting because, A, the ACC has got to be looking like, yeah, all right, not the weak conference that everybody wanted to claim to get a team to be able to, therefore, a bit looked like if the committee wanted to, could have left out the conference altogether. They obviously would have been wrong, and now the committee looks even more right to put in an ACC team that did not go to the ACC championship game, but was clearly the best team in the ACC, and I think they're showing it now as that defense feels like it just keeps getting better and better. Carson Beck, I mean, he was pedestrian, let's be honest. What I was like, 19 of 26 for 138 yards and 1 touchdown. But guess what? When your defense is playing like they did, get 2 interceptions, Mark Fletcher Jr. carrying the rock for the Hurricanes for 90 yards. They rush for 153 as a team. You don't need Carson Beck to be any big savior. And now we just wait because it'll be so... I mean, the storylines for the Fiesta Bowl would be incredible if we get Miami and Carson Beck versus Georgia. The quarterback who left and his team who hasn't missed a beat without him. You know, it's just, it'll be really interesting to see if that is able to happen. Of course, we do wonder about that because of what's been happening. And these teams who get the bye, not playing particularly well. They're now 0-5 after Miami beat Ohio State last night. It's continuing, guys, because the next CFP game going on right now is the Orange Bowl, with number 5 Oregon taking on number 4 Texas Tech. The Ducks currently lead the Red Raiders 13-0. It has been a turnover fest. It feels like both these teams just can't seem to hold on to the football, but it's been particularly rough for Texas Tech, who had a fumble, who's had 3 fumbles, I should say, but the most recent one turned into a 1-play touchdown score for Oregon. And so, as I said, 13-0, the Ducks lead the Red Raiders in the third quarter. So you need some big plays to happen for Texas Tech to come back in this thing. And I mean, we've known that defense to obviously be stout and impressive this season. Question marks seem to be much more on this offense, and needing some big points against Oregon. It'll be interesting to see if they can get it done. Of course, at 4 o'clock today, you've got number 1 Indiana playing number 9 Alabama. That's going to be at the Rose Bowl, where if you have not watched any weather information about what's going down in Pasadena right now, torrential downpour. I mean, just the most rain. It was funny watching College Game Day, where Kirk Herbstreit is, you know, putting towels over himself to protect him from the rain. Meanwhile, Desmond Howard is on the other end of the desk setup, completely dry just because of the way the wind is going. But yeah, insane rain going on at the Rose Bowl today. So we'll see how that affects how this game gets played, because you know that means it's going to be a lot more on the ground. You know, Garrett was mentioning in my ear during the break of Jam Miller being back for Alabama. Certainly going to be a big part of that game, because we knew, the SEC championship, Alabama could not run the football. It's a big part of why Georgia was able to get such a dominating win over Alabama in that game. And, you know, Bama going down 17-0 to Oklahoma last week. Everyone started to count them out. And yet, if you have seen Alabama play in the past, you knew that was always a possibility of them coming back. They did score 27 straight, beat Oklahoma 34-24, now get the chance to play Indiana in the Rose Bowl today. Final one of the evening, of course, the one that we'll be focused on around here in the state of Georgia, the Sugar Bowl. Number 3 Georgia taking on number 9 Ole Miss. Can the Dogs get a second straight win over Ole Miss this season? On the other side of the break here on the Dopey Millennial Show, we'll talk some Hawks with Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks. What are all these trade rumors? How legitimate are they? What version of the Hawks are we getting the rest of the way? We'll talk about it next. Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennial Show with you on this Thursday afternoon. Happy New Year. Man, Texas Tech, it's just not their day. The Red Raiders get into the red zone, and we have just seen another Texas Tech turnover. Honestly, I can't believe it. I mean, it's 3 fumbles today. And then Baron Morton just threw his second interception of the day in the end zone. It looks like, I mean, look, there's still, 13 minutes, nearly 14 minutes of time on the clock. So I can't absolutely say it's over. But in this game, how it's being played so far, for Oregon to be up 13-0 feels like they might as well be up 28-0. Just a massive, massive letdown for a Texas Tech team that obviously had been so much fun for a lot of people to keep up with, had a Heisman candidate in Jacob Rodriguez, but it feels like that defense doing their part. It felt like for a lot of this day, but the offense not nearly enough. And just fumbling twice in this game for both. Well, Baron Morton had one of them, Cameron Dickey the other, and then two interceptions for Morton. One is in the end zone against Oregon. And it looks like the theories ablaze about whether or not the bye is a true problem for teams in the college football playoff. Something we will talk later in the show coming up at 3:40 as to whether or not the college football playoffs are broken because of this. But right now, I want to continue our Hawks conversation. Go out to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring in my buddy Brad Rowland, host of Locked On Hawks. Brad, the Hawks get a big-time win last night over the Timberwolves, 126-102. It snaps a seven-game losing streak, one that when I asked Kristaps Porzingis about last night, he was surprised. He didn't realize it had gotten so bad in his timeout. Before we get to him, though, which is more of who this team is this season? The team that can beat the Timberwolves by double digits, or a Hawks team that goes on a seven-game losing streak?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I would lean toward the team who is at least capable of playing like the way they did yesterday. Like, I was saying pretty much throughout the seven-game losing skid that this team is not as bad as that. I mean, yeah. I think everyone would rationally understand that. Now, not everyone's rational when you're losing that often, which I totally understand. But, I mean, we've seen throughout, I mean, even beyond this season, like, the Hawks have been able to kind of be giant killers at times over the last couple seasons. Their highs are pretty high. It's a consistency issue has been kind of the case for a couple of years now, and I think so far this season has been the same thing. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. I think this season in particular, you mentioned Porzingis being playing with one center for basically a month was very, very costly for this team. So that's one reason. But yeah, I would certainly lean toward at least having the ability to play the way they did yesterday as a more indicative of where they actually should be.
You mentioned the, you know, not getting the highs being high. It made me think of something that we hear from Trae Young quite often of not wanting to get too high, not wanting to get too low. Unfortunately, you know, the Hawks kind of find themselves in that position quite often. Trae not able to play last night, second straight game that he's out with his right quad contusion. Brad, this comes after him missing 7 weeks after he messes up his knee with Mo Gay falling into him. Does the injury issues for Trae, are they a real issue now, especially as we are in final, year of his contract? The trade buzz is really, really loud right now. Obviously, is that tend to happen when a team starts losing. But does the injury side of things for Trae really start to concern you yet?
I wouldn't say so. I think without knowing, and maybe we'll learn more when the injury report comes out today for tomorrow's game, but, you know, because it's on the same leg, the contusion's on the same leg as the knee, I wonder if they're being a little bit more cautious than anything else. That's just speculation on my part, nothing beyond that. But, you know, it's a guy who's been extremely durable his whole career, like to the point where it was notable how durable he was. But also, you know, when you get older, as small as he is, like, it does make sense that you might become a little bit less durable as you get older, so perhaps this is part of that as well. But you mentioned the way that the first knee injury happened was kind of a fluke. It wasn't like he did anything weird where there was like a wear and tear injury. A guy fell into him. And that happens in the NBA, unfortunately, sometimes. But, you know, there are questions about Trae Young's future in Atlanta, and there should be. I think there was always going to be a pivot point in the next 6 months somewhere because of the contractual situation. Like, when your deal is what it is and you're either going to expire or you have a player option, it's like the time where things kind of pivot in the league. But as far as the injuries are concerned, like, it's definitely hurt his situation this season because he was just out for so long and they played for so long without him and honestly had some decent success without him, and that kind of spun things in certain directions. But as far as like his durability concern, I'm not quite worried about that yet. If he has two or three more injury absences, then he starts to get a little bit louder. But for now, it's kind of just, at least for me, for kind of a one-off on the injury front.
Talking with Brad Rowland, host of Locked On Hawks, on the waitfor.com hotline. It's fun. As someone who covers the Hawks, getting to talk to someone else who covers the team, it's fun. Because I get to ask Brad all the questions that you hate getting asked yourself. But Brad, I think one of them that is on a lot of people's minds is just how different this team looked last night when Kristaps Porzingis is available. And even in a limited span, you're only able to play 17 minutes, but scores 16 points in that amount of time. This team looked completely different. It feels like the guy, that they truly like, who they traded for. How much do you think the KP can be counted on? Or do you kind of expect his name to be another one remaining in trade rumors just because of this whole, Potts issue that he's been dealing with, that he's worked his way back after the team shut him down?
Yeah, it's really fascinating because you don't want to ever overweight one game, but the theory of the case with Porzingis was very apparent in the game against Minnesota, where he's come back from injury, illness, and because of that, he was certainly on a minutes restriction. They didn't say that, but I think it was pretty clear he was. And because of that, he was able to kind of play freely and play hard, and I think you saw his defense play up a little bit because he wasn't playing as many minutes, and he had extra energy. Like, as much as that might sound crazy coming off the illness, he probably was fresher than everybody else was because he hasn't played in the game in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And he looked great. I mean, he looked exactly like you would want him to look. He was defensively impactful. The shooting's always impactful, offensively, all that stuff. And importantly, that allows them to not have to overwork Okongwu, who's been doing yeoman's work for a month, but probably shouldn't be playing 36 minutes a night like he has been for the last 4 weeks. So all the things come together, and that's like what you want to see. And it wasn't terribly surprising that they would look better with Porzingis. Like, that makes sense. He's one of their best players. Whether they can count on him or not is the ultimate question that basically no one can answer. I mean, maybe he can, maybe the team doctors can, but on the outside, like, I think it's, I roll my eyes sometimes with people saying that he'll never play again and all these things, which is clearly not true. He played last night. Like, we saw that. But also on the other side, like, you can't just suddenly declare he's back and going to have no issues. Like, this is a guy who's had a lot of missed games over a decade. So it's really hard for people like us to answer this question. I think that they need him. That's pretty evident. But how much he can play, how much he will play is certainly a big question. And because of the contract and that lack of durability, he kind of has to be at least somewhat in trade discussions. And not because of him, but mostly because he's a big expiring contract. So if you want to make any sort of like bigger move, like Anthony Davis has been discussed a lot, that's for, whatever that is. That's just a good example of that. But anything that costs a lot of money in a trade, Porzingis is like the prime matching salary in a deal like that. So he's going to be out there, but I think the theory of the case with him playing was certainly evident last night.
When you have guys on expiring contracts, whether it's Trey, whether it's Kristaps Porzingis, whether it's Luke Kennard, it feels like those make sense when they come up in conversation. One that certainly surprised some people when his name was raised is second-year player Zachary Risacher, who I believe, Brad, I don't know if you agree, just had one of the more odd first-round pick entrances into the league because he joins a Hawks team trying to compete, trying to win, which means his development essentially takes a bit of a backseat. And it feels like, surprisingly, it's taken a backseat even more this season, and there's been talks of disappointment with how he's played. How do you kind of evaluate what Zach has looked like this season and kind of your, whether you were surprised or not to see his name be included in, hypothetical trades like we've seen with, Anthony Davis and the likes?
Yeah, I'm glad you put it that way about the situation that he came into. That's a big factor people, I would say, often overlook. Like, some guys got to go, like, rookies that are picked in the top five are often going, I would say usually going to bad teams and playing 35 minutes a night and doing whatever they want to do, basically, and developing that way. That's one way to do it. Zach didn't have that option. And between that and the reality that he's being compared to number one overall picks, and while that's where he was drafted, no one in the league, no one in the basketball community viewed him as that level of prospect. It's not his fault that he was drafted number one in a class that didn't really have a normal number one overall pick. If he had been in the class with Victor or with Flag or, pick whatever guy you want, Zion, whatever, Luka, whatever, he wouldn't have been picked there. That's the reality, and that's not the level of player that he is. All that said, like, I think that people are a little bit silly with Ricochet right now. This is still a 20-year-old kid who has flashed quite a bit and was a productive player as a 19-year-old in the NBA and, like, has a good future. Is it going to be a star future? I would guess probably not, but that's kind of what I thought all along with Zach. The appeal with him is that he's a 6'9 forward that can dribble, pass, shoot, defend, and everyone in the league wants that player. So I would not give up on him at all. I think he's a quality prospect still who's young. On the trade thing, I was not shocked because the reality is, like, the league is probably lower on him now. The Hawks maybe too. People have kind of forgotten this. The Hawks had a front office change.
Yeah.
They drafted Zachary Ricochet. And that doesn't mean that Ancho Soleil doesn't like Ricochet. We don't know that by any means. But what it does mean is that he wasn't the one in the chair when they drafted him, which does matter. With that said, I got some significant pushback from front office folks when I asked about that report that he was available. The Hawks were not thrilled to have that report out there, I don't think. So whatever that means, could he be moved? Yes, he's not untouchable. Like, he's certainly behind the likes of Jalen and that Pelicans pick as far as, like, guys who could be traded. But the notion that he would be untouchable is also not the case right now, would be what I would say. I'd still be surprised if he got traded, but it's not, like, impossible to believe.
Brad, the Hawks go in to face the New York Knicks in their next game. The last time they faced the Knicks, we learned after that game in a very tough, close fight that ultimately the Hawks came up short in, that the Hawks had a essentially, I don't know that it wasn't necessarily called a players only meeting, but that there was a players meeting that took place where everyone was able to air their grievances. You know, like this was Festivus or something. But when you hear that come out, I am inclined to cringe a bit just because usually when you hear players only meeting, it's happening to a team that things are really, really not going well. And often players only meetings don't tend to fix problems amongst teams. It felt like N'Keal, Jalen, I know I asked, or I believe it was Lauren Williams, asked Luke Kennard about it last night. What is your take of players only meetings and kind of how do you see that affecting the Hawks moving forward?
Yeah, I tend to be on your side for the most part about, like, when you hear that, you kind of roll your eyes a little bit. I also think that it was pretty natural in the way that it's been described on the record, like all the things that you were in and I was in too, like people talking about, it wasn't like a planned meeting. They kind of just, like, stayed after the game and talked. And they had a back-to-back, and it was one of those things, like, they were just around and they talked, which is, I think, productive on some level. And also, they had lost 5 games in a row. Like, yeah. It wasn't like it was an odd time for it. They were really struggling and playing poorly, and they went 0-5 in the homestand and all these things. So it's kind of a natural time for it to happen. I wonder if they wanted it to get out the way that it did. It did. Obviously, they talked about it pretty openly. But, look, the results, it was funny. The game after, once, as you alluded to, it came out the game afterwards. They lost that game, and a lot of the reaction was, well, it didn't work. They lost. And my take was the opposite. Like, they've played better.
Yeah.
Like, I know they lost that game, but, like, they clearly overachieved in that game. Like, they lost by a single possession to a team that's better than them. And then the next game, they went to Oklahoma City in a spot where they were, like, 1,000-point underdogs, and they almost won the game. So, like, and then they won the next game. So, like, they've played better since then. Does that mean that's the reason why they played better? I have no idea. It'd be silly to say that for sure that it is. But whatever was said seemed to have, I don't want to say worked, but it wasn't detrimental based on the results, at least recently.
That is Brad Rowland, host of Locked On Hawks. Give him a follow on social media at BT Rowland. Brad, really appreciate you joining us on this Thursday, and Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year.
All right, we'll talk soon. On the other side of the break, let's get into a check the tape. One person I didn't ask Brad about, Luke Kennard, had a really impressive game last night. What did he say about the reason the Hawks played differently than their previous 7-game losing streak? We'll get into it next. Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.